Join Austin Film Festival on Monday, March 30th at the Texas Spirit Theater for a four-day retrospective, Growing Up Bombeck. To celebrate the upcoming release of his latest feature, While We're Young, AFF will be hosting a four-day marathon of Noah Baumbach's best works, including Kicking and Screaming, The Squid and the Whale, and Francis Ha, as well as an exclusive pre-release screening of his new film. For more on this and other Austin Film Festival events, go to austinfilmfestival.com. Austin Film Festival's On Story podcast is now available on the Stitcher app. Search Austin Film Festival to listen. And if you're in Austin, catch a full hour of On Story on KUT 90.5 at 9 p.m. every third Monday of each month in 2015. Today, on Austin Film Festival's On Story podcast, breaking into television through screenplay competitions with Nkechi Okoro.
Just write. It doesn't matter if it's a screenplay or a TV spec or a short story or a poem or a theater piece, just write.
Christine Boylan.
If you have a group of other writers you can be vulnerable with, that's the best.
And Stephen Falk.
I'm always looking for the purest distillation of your voice of whoever I'm hiring. And I think that should be your goal.
We're highlighting three Austin Film Festival screenplay competition success stories on this episode. Our panelists will discuss the ins and outs of the festival and offer advice on the path to the writer's room. Nkechi Okoro is a writer and co-producer on Bones and was a 2011 Austin Film Festival one-hour teleplay pilot finalist with her original drama, The Fed. Christine Boylan is a writer-producer who's worked on the shows Leverage, Off the Map, Castle, and Once Upon a Time. She's currently a co-executive producer on NBC's Constantine. Christine Boylan was Austin Film Festival's 2004 one-hour teleplay spec winner with her 6 Feet Under spec script titled The Strike. Stephen Falk is the creator and showrunner of FX's You're the Worst and served as co-executive producer on both Weeds and Orange is the New Black. Stephen Falk was Austin Film Festival's 2000 comedy screenplay winner with his feature script You Down with OCD. This panel was recorded at the 21st Austin Film Festival in 2015 and was moderated by our own Marcy Mayhorn. Our panelists open, describing their respective beginnings in the industry.
Okay, so here's the deal. I come from a very traditional Nigerian family, which means my career options were doctor, lawyer, or banker. So it took a while for my mom to sign on to this whole writing thing. But because of that, I actually, even though I knew I wanted to be a writer very young, ended up as an econ major. Ended up working at the Federal Reserve for 13 years. It was one of those things where they always say, write what you know. And I'm like, okay, well, what I know is the Fed. And trust me, that's not sexy. It's, you know, it's interest rates and keeping the economy afloat and banking and, you know, international banking. And no one wants to watch that. And a mentor told me, she was like, well, that's where the writing comes in. It's your job to make that sexy. But I guarantee you there are going to be no scripts about the Fed. And so I took her advice and I wrote a very soapy, Grey's Anatomy-esque bunch of young financial wizards who are sort of, they're going to be our next financial leaders, but right now they've just started in their early 20s at the Federal Reserve the day the stock market crashes. So it's all sex, drama, and finance. It's basically Grey's Anatomy set in a bank in DC. And my mentor was right. People were like, wait, what's the Fed and what's this script and what's happening? And so that was the script that I submitted to this competition, and I was a finalist in 2011. In a weird timing thing, I submitted it to the competition, and then a couple weeks later, signed with a literary manager because of a short film I did that was playing at a festival in LA. It was my first staff in season. It was my only showrunner meeting, and that script got to Hart Hansen. And I got hired on my first job, which was The Finder, the Bones spinoff. And maybe like a month after being on The Finder, I got the call from Austin that I was a finalist. And so I was like, that's awesome. I know I just started my job, but in October, I'm going to need to go to Austin. So timing-wise, it was a very interesting time, and it was fantastic, but it was sort of the best validation ever.
Good. God. All right. So I was in New York and was writing plays and comic books, which are not as different as they sound from each other. Desperately trying to get a comic book made in the sort of like Vertigo kind of tradition, kind of fantasy, sort of edgy literary comic books. Kind of working on that and also doing theater and working for a Broadway producer and working for a movie producer and reading scripts and going to workshops and all that stuff. And it got to be pretty exhausting. This is like 2004. I had written all this sort of original material and was pitching and couldn't quite sell anything. I started doing specs just to see if I could, because I love TV and I knew I was going to have to leave New York and get it and break into TV, because there wasn't as many shows in New York at the time, or at least you know, it was harder to break in. So I wrote a bunch of specs just to put in the drawer or to let my roommates read and see if they liked it. And they would give me feedback, you know. One of those roommates is now an editor at Marvel Comics, so her feedback was especially good on story. And I ended up writing a 6 Feet Under spec, and there was just something about the characters, the subject matter, and the voices, I guess I had internalized it, that really all clicked. And it was about a gravedigger strike, which was something I had read about in the newspaper, and I thought, oh God, that would be an amazing montage. And that's how the thing ended, was the montage of the strike breaking and everybody, all these bodies being buried at the same time. So, you know, you get an image and then you just sort of build up to that. So in a whiskey haze, I wrote, you know, for 2 weeks and worked on it, and then rewrote it and sent it to Austin and a couple of other places. And then I got to come here, and then I won, which was awesome. And then a few months later, I moved to LA and temped and rode the bus, because I was from New York and didn't realize that you're supposed to drive. And that was weird, but it was a really weird adjustment. But I had met people here at the festival who I could communicate with in LA, and I had a few comic book friends who had moved to LA, and so there was a small community there, and I started doing theater in Santa Monica, and it just, you know, you just do. And then I got a job as a writer's assistant like a couple of months later on Gilmore Girls, and that's kind of where things started for me. I got my agent and everything from there, but I would not have had the courage to pick up and leave New York, I think, if I hadn't won here at Austin. So
I was doing a lot of theater as an actor, and I just thought maybe I should write some screenplays. And I entered this, and I won't say the title because it's kind of embarrassing, but
I will.
Oh,
now we
want to hear it. Say it now.
Fuck it. All right. I'll tell you what it's about first, because then the title is even funnier. It's about a gangster rapper with obsessive compulsive disorder, and it's called You Down With OCD. Fucking nailed it.
That's fantastic.
Should we have said, yeah, you know me after
that? I know. You should have. What the fuck? Yeah, and then, and that was really cool. And the trophy's really beautiful. I wouldn't say that the world opened up, because it was a feature, and the world of features is very odd. And back then, there was still a spec market, but it didn't sell. But some producers here, they did like a reading of it. Do you guys still do that for screenplays?
Script readings?
Yeah.
Yes,
which
do.
I didn't know. So they were like, oh, and now everyone's going to go perform your shit. And I was like, oh, okay. But it gave me a lot of confidence. But more importantly, it's, and all of you guys have this, except for you fuckers who snuck in. All it is secondary evidence that you're a writer that someone should read. And that stuff is the only thing that gets you over the wall, unless your uncle is someone important. So to keep building that, and I had like a, I don't even remember, nickel finals, like semi-finalists, I don't even know, and stuff like that, and good reviews of my plays that I'd written and stuff like that, all went into all I had to offer people, but eventually people said, oh, that's enough, you know, and then you get in, so you need to keep building that evidence.
So you guys have kind of started touching on, you know, what happened after the festival, which I'd love to come back to. But I think the biggest question on everyone's minds, you know, especially for our first timers here, is that you guys have attended the festival not only as semifinalists, as panelists, you know, so you are well aware of how personal the experience can be, you know, and of course trying to plan out which panels to go to. What's the best way to network with people? How long should I stay in the Driscoll bar? You know, all of that stuff.
Until
they kick you out. Good fun. I'd love for each of you to talk about what your experience was like with the film festival. Like, did you make it a point to seek out certain individuals? You know, what panels did you go to? Kind of talk about your own unique experience.
This is funny considering I write on a crime procedural. I'm very much sort of a soaps teen drama, you know, give me two cheerleaders, a jock in a locker room, and I'm like, I'm in heaven, that's my show. And so I made a point, because I knew sort of my voice and what I wanted to write, I made a point of attending panels with speakers that were talking about whether it's that genre or just specific character stuff or the high stakes nature of a soapy drama, that sort of stuff, because I knew that that was what I wanted to focus on. I understand that a number of you are like have your own sort of like writers groups in LA or something like you guys are doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is networking with each other and then being at conferences like this where you can. I'm more in touch with people in LA here in Austin than I am in LA. I have networked and met more showrunners in Austin than I have working in LA.
We haven't seen each other in like 2 years.
Since we were back in Austin.
It's horrible.
We don't live far from each other. We both work in the industry and we meet up in Austin is where we finally catch up. So, you know, you guys are doing what you're supposed to be doing, but don't spend the time sort of hopping from panel to panel and then hiding in your room, because then you're going to sort of lose the beautiful thing about all of us being here in Austin, right? For the most part, we don't bite. I may after a few drinks, but prior to that, you know, if you approach people, I'm all about respectful stalking.
Yes.
That's how I got my mentors.
That's how I got my husband.
Please,
really.
That's how she got her husband. It's all about respectful stalking. But you have an opportunity here. Be prepared. Be prepared with smart questions. Be prepared with knowing who's here, who you want to talk to at an appropriate time to corner them. Usually on my way to the bathroom is not the time to corner me. People have done that. But just know who's here and who fits into the world you're writing for, and use it as an opportunity to strike up a conversation with them. There's so much to learn. I mean, part of the reason why I come back as a panelist every year is because I still learn so much here. And there's still so many people I want to meet and talk to and pick their brains about because I think they're genius writers. And so I sneak in as a panelist so that then I don't have to pay for the producer's badge. And then I get to meet these people.
I would also say, I mean, if it's your first year, definitely go to all the panels that are sort of in your genre. If you think that you are going to be a rom-com writer, go to those panels. You know, if you are interested in more sort of supernatural stuff, go to those or the science fiction, whatever. If it's your second year, then go to the opposite. Go to the
She's
action.
Right.
Yeah, go to the action panels. I mean, there's still stuff that I'm like uncomfortable with that I hate writing that I have to write sometimes, and approaching it with a level of curiosity and a sort of a beginner's mind is really great. Like if you're a rom-com writer in an action writing panel, I feel like it's going to help you more than it will going to the sort of the same thing. But that's a second year. That's a second year thing. Make the most of your time. Sleep as little as possible. Go to the room to shower. That's basically the advice.
Yeah, I think, you know, realistically, you know, John August probably isn't going to hire you. But, and you know...
You
might.
Never know.
Yeah,
he probably
might.
Has someone, I imagine. But, yes, meeting those people are great and asking questions. But I think also a very invaluable part of it is to meet each other and to form support groups and network. I have a writer's group that I have of my peers at my house. I don't have the time, but I do it because not only do I like bossing other writers around, but it's great. My show, You're the Worst, I developed in there. I brought them the pitch and they gave me feedback. And not all of them are even working writers. Most of them are, but some of them are just still sort of up and coming and just friends of mine and stuff. And so, yeah. And if you don't live in LA and you want to be specifically a TV writer, start, you know, move to LA. You just have to, unfortunately. But yeah, meet other people and start following other people on Twitter and us. And that's one thing that when I was hiring for my room last year, I had a really hard time narrowing it down to, I could only like afford like three writers or something. So I did different like categories of like, how were they in the meeting? How was the spec? There were a couple other ones. And then one was their Twitter. Like, cause I just was like, well, I need more information. I went, they're comedy writers. They better be telling funny jokes on Twitter. And I went and looked and some got low scores on that. And that may have kicked them out of my room. Get your Twitter on point.
But that's also a good way to find out who's a sociopath too. Cause you can, they seem great in the meeting and then you get on Twitter and you're like, oh no.
Their bio.
Yeah, oh, the bio alone.
Love and life, 24/7.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
It's rough. The writer's group thing, to like jump onto that, so important. I've had one, I think we started it right after I came back from Austin that first time, and it's changed. People have come and gone, and now we're down to like this core, like six sort of members, and we have a feature writer, we have a somebody who does both, we have TV writers, and we have a novelist in there. And the only rule, I mean, my only rule that I firmly make everyone adhere to is we have to read it out loud. No matter what it is, we read it out loud. If it's a novel, you can take it home, but people are going to be reading selections out loud when we go over it and do the notes, because you have to hear it, especially if it's something. And now we all know each other well enough. We've been, you know, this sort of peer group for so long that you'll bring something like right off the printer and say, look, this is really rough, but I don't know what to do. I'm just freaked out. Hearing it out loud is amazing. And it's not like actors are doing it, although some of the writers in the group also act, which is helpful, but there's no burden of somebody interpreting it. It's just like, okay, it's another writer who's going to be kind to me, and they're just going to read this out loud, and I can just hear it somewhat objectively. So that's a very helpful thing. But also that's support. And just when you can like get in your email group with the three or four people you trust and say, look, my showrunner said this. I'm not really sure what he means by that. And they can sort of help parse out the context. It's like, okay, well, was he having a bad day? And was it this? And was it that? It's probably not you. It's probably him. Or, yeah, it was you. You're a dick. Why'd you do that? So, yeah.
Or it's not you, it's him, but you still have to put the note in. Yes. So that'll help you figure out how to do that.
Yeah. I don't know how to do this note. You know, that's a good thing for your peer group, especially if you're a staff writer on a show and you don't, you know, you want to save face. You don't want to look like vulnerable to them. If you have a group of other writers you can be vulnerable with, that's the best.
We also, we could do a whole panel on writers groups, but maybe to end that, what we do, we meet every 2 weeks and I do goals. So I'll go, okay, your goal was, and I'll read what your goal was and did you do it? And then we all shame you publicly.
That's life changing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We do that. And then we do just a segment of like, all right, did anything come up this week? Not necessarily in, but even like, oh yeah, I forgot, like if I'm doing a text, how do I write that in script form? Like dumb geeky font shit. All the way to, you know, I have a meeting with Amazon. What do you guys know about them? Blah, blah, blah. Stuff like that. So just, it's endlessly valuable.
Well, speaking of staff writers, did you guys, when you came to Austin, did you, the people that you all either work with now or have worked with in the past, did you meet any of them through AFF or through being here? Or was it just kind of...
Well, surprisingly enough, back to respectful stalking, two years ago, I was a panelist here, and someone respectfully stalked me, but it was smart. It was very smart. She knew that my heritage was Nigerian. The screenplay she'd had that placed here involved a West African family, and it was all that stuff. And so she came up to me after a panel. We struck up a conversation. Couldn't have been more than 2 minutes. She was very respectful about it, but it was very direct, very specific questions, very smart. So I said, you know, I'm on Twitter. I'm very, very vocally out there on social media. So I said, if you ever move to LA, you know, hit me up. I'd be happy to grab coffee or whatever. And she did that. And this year we actually hired her as our writer's PA on Bones. And she, even though she's our writer's PA, she sits in the room with us because we often break up into two rooms. She's allowed to pitch ideas because her ideas are great. And 2 years ago, she was living in somewhere in the Midwest and an aspiring TV writer. And now every day she's in her writer's room with us learning and growing. And, you know, everyone reads her screenplays and they give her notes and that sort of stuff. And respectful stalking here at Austin. So, yeah, that's an example of someone that I met here that now work with.
I've definitely had some coffee with people who I've met at the various Austin fests I've gone to, and you know, and they sort of move on to a career or they don't. But it's weirdly like the first year, I guess the year after I came back to LA, and I had a couple writer's assistant jobs, and then there's always that period where you can't get hired, and it was between writer's assistant and staff writer, where I was told I was overqualified for writer's assistant. They're like, you're going to staff, so we can't hire you. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Or you could staff me, or I have to pay my rent, please. So overqualified for writer's assistant and not quite, you know, getting the staff writing job. And that was a tough, it ended up being great for me because I stayed up all night every night and wrote a pilot, which worked out really well. But during that period, it was right around the strike. That was the other thing. The strike happened. And then, you know, I went to just a comic book party at my local comic shop. That's the other thing, like hangout places where writers hang out. Comic shops are a great place to do that. Meltdown Comics in LA is a really good, they have a back room where they do events and comedy nights and you know, panels and all kinds of cool stuff. So I was at a party there during the strike when nobody was allowed to write except writing comics. And I ran into a couple of people. One was this wonderful lady, Becky Kirsch, who had won the same category I won a year later in Austin. So the two of us sort of reconnected over that. And it was just a passing thing, like, oh, we're both at this party. Great. 2 months later, I had an interview for a staff writing job on Leverage. It was right after the strike had ended. I walk into the meeting, and there's Becky Kirsch. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm the assistant to the executive producer. I said, oh my God, it's just crazy. And then, you know, she ended up being our writer's assistant. And a few years later, she was our staff writer. And it was weird how she was just like kind of right. We were just right in that pocket of those 2 years kind of coming up together. So it was pretty cool.
Well, I think that just goes to show, I mean, each of you have kind of touched on networking, and I mean, especially networking with each other, because I think that's very true. We've heard so many success stories about people who have not necessarily been hired with a panelist, but who have gone to work with each other. And I think that's so an amazing opportunity for you guys. I was talking with Matt D, our screenplay competition director, about hiring process. And, you know, the great thing about all of our panelists is that, you know, we do have some of you guys who have, you know, either our television or film, particularly our television writers. You know, we've kind of gotten to this discussion of, you know, what are producers, showrunners, what are people looking for as far as getting a script in the right hands? You know, something I've heard it both ways, that screenplay competitions are great because you're kind of already weeding out, you know, the best of the best, I guess you could say. So, you know, versus trying to submit a pilot to an agent or a manager. What do you look for, when you are looking on to take new writers? How do you find them?
Well, for us, and this is what happened to me, and I firmly subscribe to this, because you'll usually hear, like, for example, for a procedural, you know, you should show you can write procedurals. You should have some kind of procedural, whether it's a spec or original material. Mostly it's original material now that people are looking for, because they're looking for that sort of new voice. Prior to Bones, I'd never written a procedural before. And I think maybe Hart Hansen and I might be in the minority in this, but I firmly subscribe to it. I actually don't necessarily look for it to be the same genre. What I'm looking for is character, because I think one of the hardest things to do in a script is to make the characters unique and pop. Everyone from your co-star to your guest star to the series regulars. And I believe, and Hart said the same thing, because it was my soapy drama that got me hired on both The Finder and then on Bones. You could teach someone the technical aspect of writing a procedural. Like on Bones, we have strict rules. You have to meet the killer by act three. He has to be one of the suspects you've met by act three, and then you're gonna revisit probably your act two suspect in act five, and then there's gonna be that final clue, and then you get your killer in six. Like we rarely deviate from that on Bones. So if you watch the show, know by the half hour mark, you've met the killer. spoiler alert. But that kind of stuff can be taught. That kind of stuff you can pick up in the room and understand the technical nature of that. What is hard to teach is making those guest stars or those co-stars who are literally only in there for a scene or only in there for a few scenes pop and unique, because honestly, that's what differentiates each episode from the next and doesn't feel like you're watching 22 of the exact same episode over and over again. And so that's why it's important for me when I'm reading material that those voices pop for me. Because you can write a great technical script, but if it feels like all the characters in it are variations of one voice, then probably about halfway through the script, I'm like, oh, they're a great writer, and I move on to the next. But what makes it memorable for me and what makes it pop is those character voices. And that's usually what I remember about the script more than anything else, and will have me strongly fighting for that writer to be hired.
Can you write moments? For me, the thing is there something in the script that is going to get stuck in my head that I won't be able to stop thinking about for a few days, a few hours, a few weeks, who knows? I mean, there's, you know, random scripts I read when I was working as a development assistant, that still once in a while I'll remember just a piece of something, even if it was unproduced, like, oh yeah, that thing that that guy wrote, it was really sort of magical and special. And that has a lot to do with nailing the character voices. I completely agree that structure is something you can pick up and can be taught. There's an intuitive way to work structure through character. There's the, you know, the very, very highly structured TV model. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. But if you can create a moment, and it's tough because most people will only read the first three pages, the first 10 pages. You know, you have to sort of have something very arresting up front. If you can hook them and then lure them in and then give them some beautiful moment that they won't forget. And it can be an image. It can be, you know, it's interesting, like lean into what you are uniquely suited to. Some people are more visual. Some people are more auditory. Some people are more like kinesthetic. I always have to describe the way a room feels and the way things sound. And then the visual comes last for me. And that's just the way that it works for me. You know, I have a hard time just seeing stuff, but I can always feel it, you know. So, you know, close your eyes and feel your way around the room and then give them something weird in the room that nobody else could think of, that only you can think of. And find something strange in your own experience, especially if it's a painful thing. They'll know it's real. The reader will know that it's authentic. I mean, who else could write about the Fed? That's like interesting. You know, if you've had a quirky job, if you've had your first career, if you've traveled somewhere else that most people in California haven't traveled to who are going to be reading it, you know, any kind of strange experience, or even if your best friend was in the Peace Corps, take him out for a drink and shake him down for every piece of information about the Peace Corps. Like, I wrote a pilot about archaeologists in Afghanistan, and I have never been to Afghanistan. I am not someone who goes outside and gets dirty that much. but I am really interested in, and I was interested in the sort of metaphorical idea of archaeology, so I found a bunch of people online. I just started asking around, and I found a few people who got it. People just want to talk about their jobs. They just want to talk about their jobs to you. It's so great. You can buy them coffee, you can buy them a drink, and they will just, especially like female archaeologists who've worked in the Middle East, they have a lot of stories to tell. So if you find a subject that you know nothing about and you're interested in, go and talk to people, and now suddenly you have a unique experience and you can present a moment that nobody has seen before or has read before, and that hopefully will be the thing that arrests the reader.
I'm always looking for the purest distillation of your voice of whoever I'm hiring. And I think that should be your goal. I think too often young writers try to write something to sell or, and it's not going to happen. So all I want is, I want exactly you represented on that page. Don't try to write something that is like anything else. Don't try to write something like The New Girl or something like Bones. Just write something unique and fresh, and it'll stand out. And I hire off plays, sketches, screenplays. I don't really care. I think for competitions and for learning, they're useful, but writing specs of existing shows, it's sort of not a thing anymore. So it's good to do and get in the competition for a Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but I won't read it if I'm looking to hire. And as shitty as it is, just to sort of answer your other part of your question, yeah, we read from agencies or from the production companies that do our shows. We just don't have the time or the legal ability, and it's a real true thing. My Weeds creator spent millions of dollars defending herself against a lawsuit from someone who's had an idea about something with pot, and she had read something, and it just, we can't read your shit. And so there are gatekeepers there for a reason, to protect us. And it's your job to figure out how to get through those gatekeepers to get to us.
That being said, if you write a short story and self-publish, it's out there. If you do a play and you produce a play at some little theater, it's out there. And people can see it. I mean, people can get hired off of that kind of stuff. Because then agents are going to come. Then people are going to come. And then we're going to get calls saying, hey, did you see this play? It's exactly along the lines of spiritually what I think this show is going to be. We should find this girl and hire her, you know, that sort of a thing. one of the ways my husband broke in on the feature side was creating a sort of weird interactive online narrative. And this was sort of about 10 years ago when people didn't quite do this yet. And it, you know, it got optioned and it got him over the wall. So, and it was out of sheer desperation. So sometimes that's really great. If you go into a different medium, you know, write a cycle of poems, write short stories. It sounds counterintuitive, but sometimes that's refreshing. If you've got a stack of just, you know, pilots and it's all like people doing the same kind of cop lawyer stuff, and then you've got a short story about, you know, some weird magical realism, whatever, that might be the thing that gets you hired.
My agents have called me and been like, because I used to write while I was working for the Fed by day, writing New York theater, way off Broadway and down the street. Recently, when I've been up for staffing, I have had my agents ask me for, remember that play you did about the three choices and the thing? Well, they're actually only reading plays. The showrunner only wants to read plays. He's looking for refreshing voices. He believes in playwrights. So we can't use any of your TV samples right now. Can you dust off that play? And, you know, and I'll go take another pass at it. Like, that was like 8 years ago. I'm a different writer now. Even till today, I'm still asked occasionally for some of my plays as samples versus any of my TV stuff. So just write. It doesn't matter if it's a screenplay or a, you know, a TV spec or a short story or a poem or a theater piece, just write.
On Story is brought to you in part by the Alice Clayburgh Reynolds Foundation, a Texas family providing innovative funding since 1979. Generous support is also provided by the City of Austin Cultural Arts Division, the Texas Commission of the Arts, and the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services and the Texas Library and Archives Commission. This program is also made possible by a grant from Humanities Texas, the state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Our executive producer is Barbara Morgan, and the show is produced and edited by myself, Brian Ramos. For more On Story and Austin Film Festival, go to onstory.tv or austinfilmfestival.com.